నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. నష్టప్రాయస భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతీరుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టకీ. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 6, entitled The Downfall of Saubari Muni. Text 5, 6 and 7. So I will read the text 5 and 6. Later we will recite verse number 7 together. Pancham. తేసాం పురుషస్తాదవ అభవన్ ఆర్యావర్తే నృపానృప పంచవంశిత పశ్చాచ్చ త్రయో మధ్యే పరోన్యతః. ఆఫ్ ద 100 సన్స్ 25 బికేమ్ కింగ్స్ ఇన్ ద వెస్టర్న్ సైడ్ ఆఫ్ ఆర్యవర్త, ఎ ప్లేస్ బిట్వీన్ Himalaya and Vindhya mountains. Another 25 sons became kings in the east of Aryavarta, and the three principal sons became kings in the middle. The other sons became kings in various other places.
Sayekadastakasade Ikshvakshu Sutam Adisat మాంసం మనీయతాం మేద్యం వికుక్షే గచ్చమాచిరం.
డ్యూరింగ్ ద మంత్ ఆఫ్ జనవరి, ఫిబ్రవరి అండ్ మార్చ్ అబ్లేషన్స్ ఆఫర్ టు ఫోర్ ఫాదర్స్ ఆర్ కాల్డ్ అష్టక శ్రాద్ధ. ద శ్రాద్ధ సెరమనీ ఈజ్ హెల్డ్ డ్యూరింగ్ ద డార్క్ ఫోర్త్ నైట్ ఆఫ్ ద మంత్ వెన్ మహారాజ్ ఇక్ష్వాకు వాస్ పెర్ఫార్మింగ్ హిస్ అబ్లేషన్స్. In this ceremony, he ordered his son, Vikukshi, to go immediately to the forest and bring some pure flesh. Text number 7. Please repeat.
Tata iti saha vanam gatva mrigan hatva క్రియాహర్హనన్నాం శ్రాంతః బుభుక్షితః వీరః ససం చ ఆదత్ అపస్మృతిః. తతేతి స వనం గత్వా మృగానత్వా క్రియార్హణా శ్రాంతో బుభుక్షితో వీర ససంచాదద్ అపస్మృతి తతేతి స వనం గత్వా మృగానత్వా క్రియార్హణా శ్రాంతో బుభుక్షితో వీర ససంచాదద్ అపస్మృతి తతేతి స వనం గత్వా ಮೃಹಾನತ್ವಾ ಕ್ರಿಯಾರ್ಹಣ ಶಾಂತೋ ಬುಭುಕ್ಷಿತೋ ವೀರ ಸಸಂಚಾದದ್ದಪಸ್ಮೃತಿ.
What word meaning? Tata, according to the direction. Iti, thus. Saha, vikukshi. Vanam, to the forest. Gatva, going. Mrigan, animals. Hatva, killing. Kriya, harhana, suitable for offering. To the yajna. In the Shraddha ceremony. Shantaha, when he was fatigued. Bubukshitaha, and hungry. Viraha, the hero. Sasam, a rabbit. Cha, also. Adat, he ate. Apasmritihi, forgetting that the flesh, what was meant for offering in the Shraddha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Thereafter, Ikshvaku's son, Vipukshi, went to the forest and killed many animals suitable for being offered in the oblations. But when fatigued and hungry, he became forgetful and ate a rabbit he had killed. Purport by His Divine Grace. It is evident that Kshatriyas killed animals in the forest because the flesh of the animals was suitable to be offered at a particular type of yajna. Offering oblations to the forefathers in the ceremony known as Shraddha is also a kind of yajna. In this yajna, flesh obtained from the forest by hunting could be offered. However, in the present age, Kali Yuga, this kind of offering is forbidden. Quoting from the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ashwamedam Gavalambam Sanyasam Phala Paitrikam Devarena Sutopattim Kalau Panchavivarjayet. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila 17.164. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden. The offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblation of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. The word phala paitrikam refers to an offering of flesh in oblations to forefathers. Formerly, such an offering was allowed. But in this age, it is forbidden. In this age, Kali Yuga, everyone is expert in hunting animals. But most of the people are Shudras, not Kshatriyas. According to Vedic injunctions, however, only Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt. Whereas, Shudras are allowed to eat flesh after offering goats and other insignificant animals before the deity of goddess Kali and similar demigods. On the whole, meat eating is not completely forbidden. A particular class of men is allowed to eat meat according to various circumstances and injunctions. As far as eating beef is concerned, however, it is strictly prohibited to everyone. Thus, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna personally speaks of Gorakshyam, cow protection. Meat eaters, according to their different positions and the directions of the Shastra, are allowed to eat flesh, but never the flesh of cows. Cows must be given all protections.
ओम ज्ञानतिमरांदस्य ज्ञानांजनसलाकया सक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदि सतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, after describing the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami goes further to describe the dynasty of Ambarish Maharaj. So in this section, Sukadeva Goswami is describing how Ikshvaku, the son of Manu, begot 100 children, 100 sons, out of which the 25 sons were ruling the west side of Aryavarta, and 25 other sons were ruling the eastern side of Aryavarta. And the three principal sons, which are described in the previous verses, Sri Sri Radha Rasvihari Ji ki, Sita Ram Lakshmanuman ki, Sri Sri Gaurnitai ki. The three prominent sons mentioned in the previous verses, Vikukshi, who is being described here, his activity, Nimi and Dandaka, they ruled the central portion of Aryavarta. And the 47 others, they ruled different other places. Places names are not mentioned. They ruled other places of this planet. So this Aryavarta, the area, the tract of land known as Aryavarta, mentioned here, is the southern side of Himalayas and the northern side of Vindhya mountain, practically the plains of Ganges, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Bihar, this area. And it is also mentioned that this Aryavarta is also called as Panchagauda. Panchagauda. Five Gauda tracks. And Saraswata Gauda, that is Kashmir and Punjab, that area. And Kanyakubja. Prabhupada writes, this is Kannauj, near Kanpur. Near Kanpur, Kannauj. And that is mentioned in the scripture as Kanyakubja. And this is one of the Gauda, among the Panchagauda, this is one of that. Uttar Pradesh. And Madhya Gauda, Madhya Pradesh. And Maithila, a part of Bengal and Bihar. Maithila. And Utkala, a part of Bengal and Odisha. So these are the five tracts of land known as Panchagauda or Aryavarta. And also, it is described about how there is also Pancha Dravida down south. Dravida. And these are mentioned as Karnataka, modern Karnataka. And Telangana. It looks like Telangana and Andhra were different even in the Vedic time. There is Andhra also. Andhra and Telanga. So somehow or other they merged it together and they have to, natural constitutionally they have to be different, I think. Telanga and Andhra, they are two tracts of Panchagauda. And comes Gujarat and Dravida. Dravida, down south, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, like that. The modern historians, they have a concept that the Aryans, they came from Middle Asia. They came from Middle Asia, and when they migrated to India, they pushed. They pushed those who were resident in the Ganges plains to down south, and they are Dravidians like that. This is modern historians. It is not acceptable from the Vedic point of view, because from the Vedic point of view, Dravidians existed from the very beginning. In fact, in the pastime of Gajendra Moksha, so we see that the Pandya king is a Dravid desh, the Pandya king Indradhyumna Maharaj, so after getting retired, he gave the kingdom to his sons. And then he went to Malaya Hill, which is actually Kerala, Malaya Hill. And when he was performing his tapasya, Agastya Muni, who is also mentioned in the scriptures various places, he visited his hermitage, and he was not given minimum hospitality that deserved a saintly person, he actually cursed him to become dull. You are like a dull-headed person, so you become dull, like elephant. So the Gajendra, in his previous life, he was Indradhyumna Maharaj. It is mentioned that he is from Dravida Desh. It's not that few thousand years ago, somewhere from South Asia, they came and pushed it. No, it is existed. So Dravida Desh is mentioned not only in Srimad Bhagavatam, in other places also, which is very, very long ago than what the modern historians would actually trace. In fact, Aryans are supposed to be very cultured. It is said that those who follow the scriptures, those who accept the Varnashrama Dharma, those who follow the Smritis, Manusmriti, Dharma Shastra, Niti Shastra, these are actually Aryans. So you can't expect somebody from South Asia to be following this, because Bharata Varsha is a land of spirituality. You can expect the people to be following this, whereas other parts of the world, they are not expected to be following this strictly. They are supposed to be non-Aryans actually. There is no question of they coming and becoming Aryan, staying in the tract of Ganges plains. So, in this way, it is very interesting here to also note that in the conversation between Bhakti Devi and Narada Muni, Bhakti Devi says she was born in Dravida Desh. And then she grown up in Karnataka, again part of Dravida actually, Pancha Dravida, and respected in Maharashtra. And then she went further, we will not go further actually. Gujarat and then to Vrindavan. An interesting thing that Prabhupada points out at places is that all the four Vaishnava Sampradaya Acharya, they came from Dravida Desh. Ramanujacharya, Sri Brahmadur near Chennai, Madhvacharya, Pajakachetra near Udupi. Then Nimbarkacharya, he said that Vaidurya Patanam near on the banks of Godavari in Andhra Pradesh. And Vishnu Swami, there are some commentary that there are three Vishnu Swamis. All of them came from south only, we will not go into details. And what to speak of four Vaishnava Acharya, four Sampradaya. Even Shankaracharya Mayavadi, he also came from Dravida Desh, Kaladi, Kerala, isn't from Kerala. So in this way, this Dravida Desh and Aryavarta, they actually coexisted. It's not that people from one place went to the other place and became Dravidians. No, they were there from the very beginning. So, in this way, in this Aryavarta, when Ikshvaku was performing Ashtaka Shraddh, it is explained here in the months of January, February and March, like Uttarayan time, when one offers oblations in the dark fortnight of this month, and this is called Ashtaka Shraddh. And in certain particular type of Shraddh, flesh is also offered. Not in all, it is stated that by offering different ingredients, you please your forefathers to different levels. And among the flesh also, different fleshes pleases the forefather to different degrees. So in this way, offering the flesh in particular cases are allowed for Shraddha also. So here, Ikshvaku has asked Vikukshi to bring some pure flesh from the forest. So this offering the flesh in yajna is not, it is also ancient. It is, you can find in several places how the animals are sacrificed. Basically, animal that is being sacrificed is actually given a benediction of promoted to the higher form of life. The animal which is sacrificed, they get the higher form of life, the promotion. In any way one has to die and evolve in no different species of life to reach the human form of life. By means of being sacrificed, if you can get it faster, that is better. So in that way, animal is actually benefited. Plus, the power of the mantra of the Brahmana is also testified, so that whether he is able to provide the higher form of life or not. If the Brahmana is not able to chant the mantra properly, then you will come to know he is not a bona fide Brahmana. So he won't be allowed to do further sacrifices. So in this way, sacrificing animals is not something new. In fact, when Daksha performed his yajna, we know that he didn't invite Lord Shiva, one of the three principal demigods, and the yajna cannot be complete without offering the shares to all the principal demigods. And it's a long story. Shiva didn't go, but Sati wanted to go, but then being disrespected, and she has to sacrifice herself in self-immolation, and the followers of Shiva became very upset, and they cursed the Brahmanas. Brahmanas curse and counter-curse went on. So at the end, when the news reached Lord Shiva, Shiva was very upset. And Shiva created, great personality, Veerabhadra, from the locks of his, matted hair. And he said, go and finish off this Daksha. So when Veerabhadra came to this Daksha Yajna, it is stated that, it was devastating. So much so that finally, Veerabhadra caught hold of, Daksha. And there is for sacrifice, there is a platform on which the animal is actually slaughtered. So he took hold of him and kept on this. He chopped off his head. The device which is meant for sacrificing the animal, he chopped off and threw that head into the fire. Once you actually destroy it, you can't rear it back. So he threw it in the fire, it burnt. So when Lord Shiva actually visited the place on the request of other demigods, finally benedicted actually Daksha by placing a head of a goat which was meant for sacrifice. You will find Daksha having a goat head actually. Because if he doesn't get a head, he has to actually transmigrate to another form of life. But then he is Prajapati. And if he goes away, what will happen? So all the request of the demigod, he said, okay, get the head of a goat so that when you go in front of the mirror, you will know what mistake you committed. You have to see a head of the ghost. So, organ transplantation is not very new also, yeah. You can even transplant the whole head into somebody else. Ancient technology. So even in Daksha's Yajna, the goats were kept for sacrifice. And that is how he got the head of the goat. So sacrificing animal is not a very prohibited, but in particular circumstances only, not in any, not necessarily in all the sacrifices. Depends upon what kind of sacrifice one is doing. So Prabhupada writes, in Kali Yuga, these Shudras, who are very fond of eating meat, they actually want to eat any kind of meat. For them it is not allowed to eat anything. They can actually, sacrifice goat and other insignificant animals, Prabhupada writes, insignificant animals, in front of goddess Kali or some other demigod. And not every day, once in a month, Amavasya day, go to the forest, not inside the city, go to the forest and do this offering. And even say that I can't control my tongue. I'm accepting to be born as like you, Mamsa, I become you, then you eat. In Kali Yuga, the purpose for which the animal sacrifice is organized is forgotten. And people generally misuse that Vedic statement to actually encourage meat eating. What to speak of today? Even during the time of Gautama Buddha, this was so prominent. People are killing animals. They are killing animals and they were not giving new life to the animal, which is what it is meant for. And the Brahmanas did not have any power of mantra. And they are disqualified Brahmanas. And they were only doing it for the sake of getting some dakshina, getting the meat, and say that this is offered in the yajna, till Mahaprasad, and then eat that. So when animal killing in the form of Vedic sacrifices was very predominant, so Buddha said, stop it. Why? No, this is Himsa. You are giving so much trouble to the animal. Then no, you see here, in the scripture it is mentioned, we can even, Daksha Yajna there was goat, so what to speak of, we can do that. That is the reason Lord Buddha said, no, I don't want to hear any Vedic statement. Ahimsa Parodharma. So Buddhism started with rejecting the Vedic principle. That is why it is called Gnostic. Buddhism is in the Vedic, in the Indian philosophy, we call Buddhism as Gnostic because they don't accept the authority of the scriptures. Buddha said, no, I don't accept it. Ahimsa Parodharma. So in this way, animal killing by even stating scriptural sentences is not allowed. What to speak of in the modern days, organized slaughterhouses. Slaughterhouses. Thousands and thousands and thousands of animals, are killed and packaged and, you know, distributed widely and eaten, what to speak of how much sin one incurs actually. So, it is stated that if one kills a cow, gohatya, one kills a cow, he has to be reborn as many number of hairs on the body of the cow. If you start counting, it's like a lot of number, right? It may be in millions. One cow actually. What to speak of? Slaughtering so many cows, you know. What is the scope of these people actually? There is no scope actually. How many times we have to be born again and again and again and again? One cow kill it itna bar. I think one day of Brahma will not be sufficient also. So such kind of sin also one commits, only scope is to take the process of Krishna consciousness. It's a sin, very serious sin. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo. All kinds of sin, which includes this also, everything included, any kind of sin. Because otherwise, those who are meat eaters and beef eaters, Prabhupada rice, you may eat even meat, that is okay, other meat, but one should not eat beef, Prabhupada rice in the purport. Very, very sinful. So those who are already engaged in such kind of activity, how they can transform and become a Vaishnava? Prabhupada exhibited that, practical exhibition. How to make the Milechas into Vaishnavas? It's possible only by taking the process of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise there is no scope. There is no scope at all. No scope at all. So, because of which, here, Srila Prabhupada mentions how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, quoting from Brahma Vaivarta Puran, that there are five things that are prohibited in Kali Yuga. In the previous Yugas, they are allowed. Several times we come across Ashwamedha Yajna. 100 Ashwamedha Yajna, if you do, it will become Indra. So obviously you have to do Ashwamedha Yajna, sacrifice in the arts. And Gavalambam, go. Offering the cow, you can be offering the cow in the Yajna also. Immediately gets the human form of life. The upgradation. These are prohibited. And sannyasam. From the age of Kali, taking sannyas is also prohibited. Because to follow the strict rules and regulations of sannyas, very difficult in Kali Yuga. Very difficult in Kali Yuga. You will find that in spite of such prohibition, our Vaishnava Acharyas, they have taken sannyas. Starting from Shankaracharya Mayavadi, he started this whole thing. He took sannyas. Bala sannyasi. For what purpose? To preach. He didn't take sannyas and live in one place. He was traveling. And he wrote commentary on Vedanta Sutra and established Mayavad. Because he has to write commentary on Vedanta Sutra and establish Mayavad, Ramanuja Acharya who came next, he took sannyas also. He's a sannyasi. He knows also Brahma Vaivarta Puran, sannyas is prohibited. He took sannyas. And what he did? He travelled all over India and established so many mutts and, you know, all these jeer mutts. These are all disciples of the original jeer. They were all disciples of Ramanujacharya. He went around all over India and established. Then came Madhvacharya. He took sannyas also. He also travelled all over India. And what to speak, he went to Badrika Ashram and met Vyasadeva himself. Got instruction from him, because of which we are placing ourselves in Brahma Sampradaya. Because Vyasadev coming in from Brahma, the knowledge comes from there. So we are placing ourselves. So he also travelled all over and he also wrote all these Acharya, they have to write commentary on Vedanta Sutra also, because Shankaracharya started the whole process. तो निंबार्काचार्य, विष्णु स्वामी, लॉर्ड चैतन्य, लॉर्ड चैतन्य टुक संन्यास ऑल्सो. Lord Chaitanya is quoting from Brahma Vaivarta Purani that sannyas is prohibited, he took sannyas. The idea is to preach. For preaching purpose only the sannyas is permitted. So much so that after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, six Goswamis, they didn't take sannyas. They didn't take sannyas, they took Babaji Vesh. So from that point onwards in our sampradaya, until Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, there is no sannyasis. They are all Babajis. Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, they are all Babajis. So again, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if you are a Babaji, then your scope of reaching to the world is limited. Obviously, if you are sitting in one small ashram in some one corner, your scope of reach will be very less. But the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is supposed to reach the entire planet. Prithivite Achayati Nagar Adi Gram. You sit in one corner, you won't reach Nagar Adi Gram. You will not even reach 1 gram. What to speak of all the Nagaras and Gramas. So see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took again Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took sannyas. Sannyas and institution are related actually. Ramanujacharya, institution of Sri Sampradaya. Gear, mutt, etc., etc. And Madhvacharya, he has got his ashtamat also in Udupi. So, in an institution, a preaching institution, to propagate the message of Krishna consciousness, the sannyas is necessary. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati did that, Gaudiya Mutt. So, he established Gaudiya Mutt all over India. He traveled, again traveling and preaching. So, following in the footsteps of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada also took the sannyas. Obviously the case is there. The Vedic statement is there, it is prohibited. But exceptions are always there. And that exception is for preaching purpose. If the purpose is for preaching, one is allowed to take sannyas. So in this way, we can see, only by such kind of institutional persons, one can take the message of Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Prabhupada has said the movement in that direction. And then, comes offering flesh in the oblation for forefathers, which is being the subject matter of discussion in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why Srila Prabhupada is quoting this verse. So, offering the flesh was there, but then in Kali Yuga it is prohibited. So when Lord Buddha said that don't offer the flesh in the sacrifices, he could have even used this statement of Brahma Vaivarta Puran that it is prohibited. But he didn't do that because his purpose was to establish Buddhism. The atheists who are only concerned about ahimsa but not other teachings of Vedic scriptures, for them to give an opportunity, he wanted to establish Buddhism. That's why he rejected it. He could have very well used this very statement. It's quite possible, but Supreme Lord has got his own mission. If he has to establish Buddhism, he has to reject the scripture. So he rejected scripture instead of quoting this particular verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes this verse, not that he rejected everything. And the fifth thing that is being quoted in this particular verse from Brahma Vaivarta Puran is that begetting child in brother's wife. This is also tradition in the Vedic time. Suppose, especially for the Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas certainly needs to have, a son so that the dynasty will go forward. Suppose in a dynasty, if there is no children, no son, then it will come to an abrupt end. Then who will rule the kingdom? Who will take care of? So there is a provision given for that. If the king who is not getting a child, then in the same dynasty, because in the dynasty there is a kind of inheritance. You can say from modern terminology, DNA of a Kshatriya is there. in a Kshatriya, the DNA of Kshatriya is there, so you need that actually. So, same, his brother means he is coming in the same dynasty. So he can impregnate the queen, that is allowed. This is this principle is the bottom line for actually Mahabharata. In Mahabharata, when we read, the emperor Santanu had Bhishma from Ganga. But then, when he wanted to get married to Satyavati, the Bhishma said that, okay, I will not get married because in the dynasty, the eldest son gets the first priority to become the next king. Satyavati said, if Bhishma is there, how my sons will happen? He said, okay, I will not become king. So Satyavati gets married to Santanu, she begets Chitrangada and Vichitra Virya. And Chitrangada gets killed by a Gandharva, and Vichitra Virya didn't have the issue. He didn't have children. So Satyavati calls Vyasadeva, because Vyasadeva is, our son from Parasara Muni. So he's like half-brother of Vichitra Virya. And he is the one who was invited by Satyavati mother herself. Please impregnate the wives of Vichitra Virya, Ambika and Ambalika. And that is how Dhritarashtra and Pandu were born. This is the same principle. Because he is the brother, and he impregnated actually the Vichitra Virya's wife, by means of which the dynasty went further. Because Bhishmadev already said he will not take the kingdom, because he promised. Once you give your word, you have to follow it. This is Vedic principle. You can't say that, at the time I told like that. It's not really like that. You give interpretation to your own words, that is not good. That's not gentleman. You say one thing. Bhishma Pitama said, I will not take the kingdom for which I will not marry. That's it. Period. Nobody can change that. So he wanted somebody to take the dynasty to go forward. That is how Vyasadeva has to impregnate. Even though he is the biological father, they are considered Kauravas, Kuru dynasty. And again, in the case of Pandu, he could not impregnate because, of the curse that, he will die if he tries to engage in sensual pleasure. And in fact, all the Pandavas, they are born biologically of the demigods. Because the king is actually the representative of the demigod, the demigod is also allowed to do that. So in fact, even though Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhimasen, Arjuna, these are all born of the demigod, they are called Pandavas, not of demigods, no. Prabhupada gives the example, if you have agricultural land, the owner may sometimes ask somebody else to cultivate the field, but still, whatever comes out of the field belongs to the owner. He may give something else as whatever, remuneration, that's a different thing. Whatever comes out, owner only owns. The same way, the Pandavas biologically are born of demigods, but they are called Pandavas, the sons of Pandu, not demigod sons. So in this way, this principle is allowed in the previous Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, Kalau Shudra Sambhava, you need these for Kshatriyas, Kshatriya dynasty to go forward. In Kali Yuga, Shudras don't need any great dynastical thing. There's nothing like that. So because that necessity is not that prohibited. So you cannot use that principle, then it will become a great disturbance in the society. So in that way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually quotes this particular verse from Brahma Vaivarta Puran to establish that, even though in this particular section we are discussing about offering flesh in the yajna, oblation, shrad ceremony, but not applicable in Kali Yuga. So it is also described here how Vikukshi, when he went on for hunting, which is allowed for Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt the animals in the forest, for the purpose of getting the flesh for the yajnas, oblations. Also, to establish their strength, power, prowess. So when they have to establish their prowess, they don't hunt rabbits and deers like that. They go for hunting the lions and tigers actually. If a kshatriya, he wants to establish his power, he should actually fight with a lion and defeat the lion. Then he is real kshatriya. Not just going around rabbits, that is hunter, no normal hunter. They can do that. Kshatriya has to, establish the power. So much that alone he can handle these ferocious animals. So in the course of this hunting, Vikukshi becomes so tired, fatigued and hungry. When he becomes fatigued and hungry, you forget about what is your duty, what you are expected to do. Parikshit Maharaj also went on hunting excursion. Kshatriya allowed to hunt. So when he was also tired and thirsty, he was not very hungry, but he was thirsty, and he comes to the hermitage of Samika Muni and thinks that hospitality is not given. See, this hospitality is, nowadays we take it for granted. If you don't even give the proper hospitality, just you don't even know the guest has come, and you are not given the hospitality, you are cursed. You have to become Gajendra, or you have to die in 7 days. Can you imagine this? So how strict, every padam padam yat vipadam, every step is a danger. Even on the royal road, Prabhupada said there could be accident. No, royal road means what, Royal road means no disturbance for you. It's like the president of United States of America is going to go on the road. You expect nobody can even think of, being around. Forget about traveling on that. Everything is stopped. That's called royal road. When the king is traveling, nobody can just come in the way. But there could be accident on the royal road also. Nobody disturbing you. If your own rath breaks down, what you will do? Due to different reasons. So, even for a small mistake, one can be cursed to become, undergo a very severe punishment actually. So here, we see Vikukshi, when he was so fatigued and hungry, he forgot that this is meant for the yajna. The animal that he has, he only hunted, it is meant for the yajna, and he ate it. It's an offense. Something meant for some higher purpose, you consume yourself. It's an offense. So we are going to read what is going to happen further. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport how in the modern day, for the pleasure of tongue, engages in various sinful activities of killing so many kinds of animals, but Prabhupada says at least people should stop eating the flesh of the cow, beef. He says the cow is supposed to be protected, and Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, talks about Gaur Raksha, and that mother who is giving milk to you, you keep on taking the milk, after become old you cut it. What kind of culture is that? Unculture. This is unculture. Sinful. So sinful that one has to undergo severe punishment. So many lifetimes you have to take. So one should work towards protecting the cows, which are like mother. And it's not cow means just cow, it is bull also. It's not that bull can be killed. No, it's a gau vamsa. It's bull and cow and calf, everything together, put together. And the bull is, the representation of dharma. Four legs of bull is compared to four legs of dharma. And mother cow is the residence of all the demigods, actually. All the demigods are living. And one cuts the cow, the residence of all the demigods, that is why you get such a severe punishment, actually. So one should avoid. And then, obviously, if such kind of people are around in the world, so we can only change them by giving a book of Srila Prabhupada. There are so many cases of meat eaters, beef eaters, and milechas and yavanas, by reading a book of Srila Prabhupada, they change their life. The life can change also, and that is possible for Prabhupada to do it. So we are very close to book distribution marathon. We are getting ready to distribute books. So it's an opportunity for us. On our own, how many people we can talk and how many people we can change. But Srila Prabhupada, there are so many cases. Simply by reading one book of Prabhupada, people just change their habits overnight. It's possible. Other day, Bhakti, that Atma Nivedan Maharaj said, overnight he said that he left the tea coffee and he was asking for milk next day. It changed actually. So we are getting ready for distributing Srila Prabhupada's book, especially Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And if one can read Srimad Bhagavad Gita and come to the level of surrender unto Krishna, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, if he can come. And then, even if he is a beef eater and he is a butcher and whatever it is, there is some scope for them. So by our humble effort, we can create scope for others. We are creating some scope for others so that they can be brought to the path of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki? Srila Prabhupada book distribution marathon ki? Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Guruji, for the class. Amongst the three Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, these Shastras are considered to be more weightage, because Guru and Sadhu are supposed to speak from the Shastras only. So, if such restrictions are given in the Shastra, Ashwamedham Gavalambam, so people, they say that, based on what reference then, because it's a Shabda Vritti, directly it is mentioned in the Shastra that in Kali Yuga, Sannyasis and Ashwamedham, all these things are prohibited. So, it is directly given. So they say that on what basis then Madhvacharya, all these acharyas, previous acharyas, they have taken sannyas and so on and so forth, if you can explain, Guruji. So there has to be a reference in the scriptures, because a guru, an acharya, a sadhu, whatever actions they take, they are supposed to be there in the scriptures also. So if you can quote the reference also, whether that for the purpose of preaching, or whether is it an indirect meaning, a Lakshan Vritti or a Gaun Vritti that has been derived by these acharyas and then they took sannyas.
There is a verse from Mahabharata which says, Tarko apratishta sutaya vibhinna nasau ricireva mattam na bhinnam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya mahajano yena kataso panta. By means of tarka, argument, you can't establish truth. For every argument, there is a counter-argument. Shrutaya vibhinna. Shruti is bhinna. There are so many statements contradictory. There are so many contradictions. It's a vast body of knowledge. And one statement meant for one person, somebody else which is not meant for him, he takes that. There are statements meant for Kshatriya, there are statements meant for Shudra, there are statements meant for different categories of people. It's not everything meant for everybody. Shrutaya vibhinna. Then what happens? How to know what is meant for me? Dharmasya, what is the conclusion of dharma? Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya. The conclusion of dharma is very, very confidential. Confidential. Nigitam guhaya. Mahajano yena kata. How to get that? You'll have to follow the footsteps of Mahajanas. Great personalities who actually understood that. So there are statements which are having direct meanings, which are applicable for everyone. That is fine. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama iva kevalam kalau nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatir annata. Straight statement meant for everybody. There's no interpretation needed there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Iti Sodasakam Nam Nam, Kalav Kalmasa Nasanam, straight. You don't have to do any interpretation for that. But there are statements which are meant for certain purposes, you need an interpretation. And to do that is required Guru and Sadhu. Guru, who is coming in the disciplic succession, he can actually, understanding the mood of his previous acharya, who understood the mood of his previous acharya, he can give the understanding in the line of disciplic succession. In our disciplic succession, this is what we understand. How? Because my guru told. Guru is required. It's not by just reading the scripture one can come to the conclusion. No. Mahajano yena kata. Mahajana is guru. Your guru one Mahajana. He is representing other Mahajanas. And then now, there is a question of guru trying to misinterpret also. All scope is there, you know. There are cases of so many gurus misinterpreting also, you know. To check that, sadhus are required. Others are also there. It's not that guru is left alone in the thing and whatever he says. If he misinterprets and then you follow it, then you become a fanatic. So the balance is there. Shastra, sadhu, guru. So what Shastra says, how to understand, guru will teach you. And then other sadhus are also there. If most of the sadhus think that this is wrong, then you'll have to be very concerned. So this balance is check and balance is given. So in that way, one should know that, especially when an acharya comes and gives, his statements have to be taken just as it is. There is no need for great interpretation. We don't have to jump over the acharya. In our case, Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent acharya for this International Society for Krishna Consciousness for the next 10,000 years. And his statements are law book. If you say that Prabhupada said this, then it's acceptable. But the problem is, even what Prabhupada said, he can misinterpret. Our Krishna consciousness is such that to justify whatever you want to do, you can find some statement of scripture, some statement of Prabhupada also. That is why sadhus are required. Sadhus have to say that, wait a minute, statements are meant for particular time, place and circumstance. Even to understand the statement, you need somebody who is well versed in those things and give his opinion. Sadhus. Not one sadhu, there are so many sadhus. If the majority of sadhus are not agreeing with a particular kind of interpretation, then we have to be very careful. So this check and balance is there already. So the straight statements which are applicable for everybody, there is no need for any interpretation. But there are statements which are contradictory, something else contradicts. Then you need to understand what it means depending upon guru and sadhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
When Parikshit Maharaj was in the womb of his mother Uttara, that time Ashwatthama released a Brahmastra to kill him. And then Lord entered in the womb and nullified the power of Brahmastra and saved from death. And later on, when time came, that time the Brahman boy has given curse to him that he will die within 7 days. So, it is to be understood this happens by the will of the providence without sanctioning of the Lord. How can a Brahmana give curse or benediction?
Comment?
Huh?
Thank you. Everything happens by the will of the Lord. The Lord has to enact a pastime, then he also, why should Parikshit Maharaj, he is known as Vishnu Rat, protected by Vishnu himself, do a thing like take a dead snake and put on the neck of a sage. He is cultured, he is a Kshatriya, and when he saw the Kali personified was attacking the bull, immediately he knew what he has to do. He is ready to chastise him. He knows what to do. He doesn't know that he could not even think that whether the sage is meditating or imitating like meditating, that's also opportunity is meditating, you know. So, when the will of the Lord is there, and Krishna can, either he can give you intelligence or he can give forgetfulness also. Mattaha smritijnanam apohanam cha. So, if he gives the forgetfulness, he may do some activity, and which he may not do. In fact, when Parikshit Maharaj left the place, he already started thinking, hey, what is this? Why did I do like that? That's gentleman. A gentleman repents for what he did wrong actually. He already started thinking. It's not that he felt, oh, it's like my right to do like that. He immediately felt, somehow or other, it happens. So you have to know that something happens like that somehow or other. The Lord's will is also there. If the Lord wants that thing to happen, Srimad Bhagavatam to come, guide the fallen conditioned soul, unfortunate soul, Srimad Bhagavatam required, that is the way to do it, then Krishna allows that to happen. Thank you. Asim Krishna Prabhu.
The comment regarding sannyasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also.
Aap to sannyas candidate hai, hum maan rahe
hai. I heard in the seminar of sannyas candidate in Mayapur.
Aja.
So many, there is a many doubt. So clear there also. So in the rules of the Shastra, Swayam Bhagwan or maybe Acharya can change. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, Swayam Bhagwan, he can change the rules of Shastra. So, and Acharya also, like Srila Prabhupada also changed from 64 rounds to 16 rounds. So big Acharya and Swayam Bhagwan, he can change the Shastra. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also accepted sannyas in Kali Yuga. So he started. So anyone for preaching purpose, like you explained, for preaching purpose, someone can take sannyas. So Acharya or Swayam Bhagwan can change the rules of Shastra. Even in Brahma Vaivarta Purana you quoted, there is a prohibited five things. So in Kali Yuga also, Swayam Bhagwan also accept.
Dharmattu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. What the Supreme Lord establishes a process that becomes dharma. So here is Supreme Lord. No, he is supremely independent, so he can make his activity dharma. Why is it dharma? Because it is beneficial for all the living entities. Dharmattu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Thank you. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Sai Gaura Premanande.